When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome, people. Welcome back to another episode of Courtside Fracas. It's your boy Killer K. I'm here with my good peoples. But before I get into that, of course, let me make sure that I plug the socials one more time, of course. I'll do this at the end. Just make sure you don't forget. At Courtside Fracas on Instagram. At Courtside Fracas on Twitter. At Courtside _ Fracas on TikTok. We do be posting there. We see your comments. And of course, the YouTube, Courtside Fracas. And before I forget, Spotify, Courtside Fracas, make sure you leave us some ratings there. We see all of them, good and bad. If it's bad, it's not true. If it's good, of course, we believe you. But yeah, make sure you leave them ratings there. Of course, we appreciate all the love. Keep it up. You feel me? But of course, I'm here, my bros. I'm my good peoples. We're going to do this again. Of course, we got our executive producer on the mic, Jordan.
Hello.
Better. None of that shenanigans from last week.
I get to keep the mic. Woo.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Just ruining it. And of course, got the Miami telecaster himself, Mr. Street Heat Evangelism, my boy Shaq. What are you saying?
Mr. 305. I'm good. Glad to be back. Having a torrid time watching basketball at the moment, but everything I said about that trade was fake news.
We'll get into that.
Cool. Then we've got someone new in the studio, no longer the realest Raster in charge, because that is I. It's no longer Reams. It is me, Killer K, the only real dread man in the office right now. What? And then, of course, we've got a new man in the office, New Fade.
Lord.
They're calling me New Face in here, bro. Yeah,
hey, sir, go.
I'm not. I'm Cornrow Kenny now, bro.
Cornrow Kenny, indeed.
Yeah. You know, it's a new beginning sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes you have to destroy to rebuild.
Okay. It's like a restructure.
So what actually happened? He took Ant's 40k fine a bit too hard and just said, fuck it. Yeah, nah. Like, we're done. So that's where we are right now.
It's a rage cut.
So I can't do this anymore. We can't beat these guys.
Bro.
Oh. So with that, of course, let's get straight into it. A couple of things been going on, a couple of happenings, a couple of this things. But where I'd like to start today, of course, is the NBA. We're starting with you lot first. The Heat, let's just run through our teams. How y'all doing?
Terrible.
Since the trade.
Look, we've not looked good on the court because all of our team has finally been back. We've done our starting lineups. We've included Rosier in his starting lineup.
I saw him give KD a little hee hee.
His first game was actually decent from him. It wasn't like the big scoring game you'd want for your debut, but what's funny, Killer, right? It was his first time coming off the bench for something like 299 games.
Yeah, but he's been running riot in Charlotte doing what he wants.
Yeah, but Smo, can't you let the guy like just get 300 games in a row? Like, let him get the one milestone of starting just for the sake of it and bench him straight away or something. But we've looked a bit shaky. The points are here and there. I think we're just getting used to the system of having two smaller guards that are going to do different things. Harrell's looked a bit of a shade of himself. Jimmy's doing fine. Bam is doing fine, but
Tyler Hero come out over there and said, oh, he's been sacrificing his shots for the team.
Yeah.
But he's still taking the most shots on the team.
how many more shots do you want, big bro? Like, let's be really honest with ourselves.
Like, it's
how many is he on a game at the moment? Like 15?
What, Hero?
How many shots is he
probably
in
like 15 or 16? But he should be.
Yeah, what option is there?
What do you want? So
primarily going forward, who would you still want him to be taking the most shots on the team, or would you like that to reside with Jimmy or Rozier? Or
yeah, if you let him get, Adebayo, if you like, let him go into his bag, and Jimmy's also in his bag, and then Bam's in his bag, Like, Herald will take the most shots because he runs the most transition players. Like, it, he would get the ball, run up and shoot within 3 seconds if he needs
My
to.
My question is for you. How far do you go as a team with Herald being the one that takes the most shots on your team?
I'm pretty sure the year that we went to the finals with Herald there, he took the most
I just want to know this year. Does that look like something that can follow
I don't feel on these motherfuckers.
No? So conference finals expectations for the Heat?
No, we can go conference finals. We can go to the finals. I see no problem with it. Once it molds, if this molds to how I see it could potentially mold, then it's fine. I also don't think our business is done in the trade market.
What are you saying? You might get on a HBO special?
Yeah, bro, I've had a few connects call out, you know. Disney are looking for a contract, you know. Disney Plus has been lackluster.
So getting off QVC straight to DVD, fine.
We
might get syndicated post-pilot.
Bro, no, we was filmed for a little bit. And then like Hallmark called, but then we realized that studio is not really doing it. So
okay,
please respect. We're here now. please respect.
We had some television classics on Film 4.
What? Yeah, that's what we are.
I've watched Die Hard 4 numerous times.
That's what we are. 4. So nah, it's good. I think that we're not done with trades just yet. We'll see, but we'll be fine.
Okay,
we'll be fine.
Okay, and then next, of course, fresh off a 40k fine and new trim. Of course, we have the Minnesota Timberwolves had a close one. With, of course, the Oklahoma City Thunder, who have since lost to the Detroit Pistons.
Lost to the Detroit Pistons first, by the way.
So mm-hmm. apologies.
But because the American football was on, they thought no one was noticing.
Yeah.
I'm a noticer.
Wait, it happened. And it was a significant loss as well.
I'm a noticer, yeah. So no Cade as well.
No
Cade
paid attention.
We seen what Jalen Duren done to some people's rookie of the year.
You stepped up as well. You
yeah, Jalen Duren put a little 20-20 on his head.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, I feel like 40k, but Ant's getting paid what 250 in his next contract. That's light for him. That's a little pocket change. That's abortion money. You know what I mean?
Man's got a shoe dropped.
You said what?
But that's that pill money right there.
Yeah, that's that pill money. You know what
we
I mean?
Don't joke about these things. We want to make it further as a platform. we're not joking about these things right here. All right, let's move on from that. All right, let's have some decorum as a people.
The last time we played OKC, I think. Let's edit that out.
No. Send the video.
Send the video.
The NBA youth of today are finished. They are a finished bunch.
Oh man.
But we do not condone.
We do not condone any of that.
We're pro-choice here on Courtside Frackers.
100%.
Very much so. But we do employ our young boys to be a bit more sensible in their choices.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the last time we played OKC and was complaining about the calls that Shea gets. I think, I don't know how many times a year you guys have to play OKC on your teams, but we have to play them 4 times.
Yeah. Is it play them 4 is 5? No, it's 4.
We have to play them 4 times. I don't know how much the Lakers might have to play them 3. You guys have to play them twice. But Shea be getting Shea's superstar whistle.
What?
It's crazy.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Crazy.
That guy goes to the line. And no one calls out. Same way Embiid goes to the line, Shea be going to the line.
I'll be going to the line, bro. So yeah, obviously, so Ant made a complaint. He's like, oh, you know, they're a tough team. Shea's a great player. It's hard to win games when Shea's getting the calls that he gets, rah, 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 rah. So, like, and I think after that win, a couple of the OKC guys, you're fucking. I think Shea said a little something on, put a little subliminal there on his Instagram. I think Lou Dort put a little subliminal out there.
Who? Lou Dort thinks.
Trey Mann. Couple of these other guys, you know, Chet as well.
Like, I like it though. Them guys don't like it.
They're young boys. They're gonna do this stuff.
Also, he's Canadian, so they ain't got to be boys.
Yeah, it's a young team. You get me? So obviously, this game's come now, and obviously, since maybe like Christmas, Minnesota, we've been struggling fourth quarter offense down the stretch. It's been bad.
I think it's been a consistent thing for 3 years. Like not like every fourth quarter, but
this season,
especially
the first month of the season, good. After Christmas. Been horrible, like it's been like I think we're negative like 4.9 points.
This not this season, but this year 2024 but then, so far.
I think
in clutch situations, Ant and Kat are both 4 of 15, so they got 30 shots between them. That's more than everyone else combined. So it's not been great, and obviously, but in this OKC game down the stretch, we really executed well. We shared the ball. I think we scored on like 4 big possessions in a row. I think Nikhil scored like a mid range shot off glass. I think Jaden McDaniels got a wide open three. Rudy Goldberg got a post up dunk on Chet.
Yeah.
Ant got like a big dunk where he blew by Jalen Williams. And Shea literally grabbed his arm as he's going up to dunk. no call. You know what I mean? So at the end of the game, Ant basically come out and was like, listen, I don't know how we won that game because we wasn't getting no calls. The guy we were just trying to execute wasn't getting no, like, you know, and he called out. He said, I don't mind, I'll take the fine. And like, listen, a lot of people on Twitter and stuff like that was like, yeah, I rate Ant, he's so real and oh, we love it. And I'm thinking to myself as a Timberwolves fan, like,
he's going
to
swallow that.
I don't need you to have that on your... Yeah.
These refs hold a grudge. We know these refs hold a grudge.
So my question...
And Kat are always complaining anyway.
Like, I've got a question around that with the referees, though. Is like... And I think it's a thing in sports in general. But why is it so bad to call out a referee for a bad call? Like, I would tell a player... Like, we as fans will criticise a player saying...
If you don't do your job properly, you deserve some criticism.
Like, yeah, it's... That's a terrible shot. Why would you shoot that? Why did you not pass that ball? And it makes no sense. But then why can you not?
They do they still do their 2-minute reviews in terms of reviewing all the plays in terms of what's gone on and obviously what they got right. So they still released that like a couple weeks after games, right?
Well, they've come back with a 2-minute view on that play that I spoke on, and they said the contact was marginal. I'm not sure if you guys have seen the images.
I've seen.
But he's literally had his whole 5 fingers wrapped around Ant's forearm.
I've seen people not get fouled and get fouls. So it's like
I've seen Shea not get touched. And he's going to the free throw line.
I've heard the whistle blow before Luke or Embiid and stuff have been touched. They've anticipated a foul.
Yeah, so like and Anthony Edwards, like we've seen Anthony Edwards play. We know he puts pressure on the rim. He shot 4 free throws in that game. Shea shot 16. And we know Shea's a driver. He's a driver to the rim. So his free throws sort of represent that. But why don't Ants?
I think to this day, referees still tax body shape because obviously Ant is a bit more...
Big, strong. Mm-hmm. Same thing happens with LeBron.
They just think, oh, he could hold the contact, whereas all these flimsy kind of guys... That's why...
And he don't throw himself in the air.
That's why Embiid throw himself in the air. Because if Embiid did what he does, he won't get them same calls.
So with the way the game is refereed, they're encouraging grifting.
Yeah.
There's no more. We're not allowed to do ethical hoops anymore. Mm-mm. You have to con the referees.
Nasty ball.
Like people will throw the ball in the air as their layup just so you can get the call. So it's like, hey, like. But for
and
me,
the worst thing is, and the worst thing is, yeah, like, so, like Shea, like he's an efficient player anyway, right? But listen, when you go up for when you to get a free throw, you have to have a shot attempt, right?
Yep.
And unless it's an and one, the shot attempt has not gone in.
Yeah.
But you've been awarded the free throw. So that like
doesn't
so
count
that,
as a
that
shot.
Doesn't count as a field goal attempt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But you're getting the points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's
so basically sound mad efficient.
That's
when
how man scored 37 on like 58% shooting and like 12 of them are free throws. Whereas Ant, like he'll be like 11 of 21, but like 3 of those field goals that he missed, he got fouled on and didn't get a call. So anyway, I don't know. Like Kat and Ant, okay, like I don't know if you guys how much you guys watch the Timberwolves, but whenever Ant goes to the rim, yeah, and he thinks he's getting fouled, he always goes, "Hey!" Like he always screams, "Hey!" Like, and when I tell you this now, when you go watch his highlights or whatever, you're not gonna be able to not notice it. Like he does it all the time.
So to look at this, right, for the point that you made, Anthony Edwards averages 19 shots a game this season.
Yeah, like 19.4.
It's like 19.3, I think. Yeah. Right,
that's a lot of shots.
I like that. He averages
down from last season.
He averages 6 free throws per game.
Yeah, that's okay.
Is it 6?
Yeah,
I even thought. But do you know this is the best season of his career in terms of drawing fouls.
Yeah,
this is the best he's ever been at drawing fouls.
And then Shea averages 20.2
shots
per game.
Okay, yep.
He averages 9.6 free throws a game.
So he's getting basically 10 free points a game.
Yeah,
and he shoots like what 89%.
Yeah, I think he's averaging like 8.1. So he's high in the stats for it as well. So
at least 8 to 10 free. He's getting at least 8 free points a game.
Yeah.
I mean, bro, Shea's a great player. I mean, what I'll say on Shea is, I'm gonna be interested to see how they do in the playoff setting.
Because the refs swallow their whistle in the playoffs.
They swallow their whistle, and he doesn't shoot threes at the highest volume, and at the most efficient clip, and
his game is very 15 feet in heavy.
Teams are gonna collapse on him a lot. Force him to take that mid-range, which he's good from the mid-range. Force him to take a lot of threes. They're not the biggest team. They're not the girthiest.
There's no girth and tonnage within that team.
They don't have the most girth and tonnage in that team. So I'll be curious to see how they do in the playoffs.
I'm interested because, like the pocket in the NFL, the paint will collapse. And taking those mid-ranges in the playoffs... It's not as easy.
And listen, in the playoffs, let's say their team is...
I'm sorry, I have to disrupt Shaq's face right now. He chooses the word girth to describe anything.
Don't forget tonnage.
And tonnage. Don't forget tonnage.
It comes from the hips.
Listen, if they are planning on playing Josh Giddey in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's
on the offensive end, they're going to be playing 4-on-5.
Yeah. Oh boy, oh boy. And the thing is, he's not a bad player. It's just the fact that, bro, you got to put some weight on. Cause...
Oh my God.
So, a big thing that's been going on with social media around this situation, though, is Ant versus Shea. Well, Ant versus SGA, so Shea.
For Shea, yeah.
What do we think of this as a rivalry?
I like it.
I mean, Shea's a little bit closer to his prime right now.
Mm.
I feel like it'll be a better rivalry when both of them are in their prime. So right now, Shea's 25, Ant's 22. That seems like...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I keep forgetting Shea's been around so long.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. But obviously, when Shea's like 30, Ant will be 27. Like, they'll both be in their prime.
Was it Shea's been, what, 6 seasons in the league?
Yeah, also, he had the quote-unquote keys for a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Ant's 4? Shea's in year 6, Ant's in year 4, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay. But again, responsibility and situation has been very different. Of course, ended up at OKC, ended up being the face of the franchise a lot quicker. And
yeah,
again,
I think right now Shea's the better player than Ant. But Shea's closer to being the final form of himself than Ant is. You get
of
me?
Of course, no, 100%.
Yeah, so in 2 years, I don't think it'll be that close.
I think Ant's got a higher ceiling, but that's another day's
Ant
conversation.
Ant right now is really dumb, right? And Shea isn't.
Yeah.
But Ant is 22 years old. Like,
I think. Ant
what can you do for that?
I know 22
years old with a key is
most
long.
22 year olds don't know the hell they're doing.
And he's got such a bag that he's going to try experiments and stuff. But
I think
your problem is he tries it in the fourth quarter.
Well.
Yeah, Shea, I think Shea's defended really well this year. But I think Ant just like just his physical tools, like
it's an NFL player
on the ball. I feel like Ant's one of the best defenders in the league.
Yeah.
But like on the ball is only like 30% of defenders.
But I think a lot of it is
that's the easiest. That's the easiest bit.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is not even like he's a great defender in just what he does, but it's his mindset as well. Yeah. It's like, I'm not gonna let you cook me.
Off the ball, Shea's effort is a lot better than Ant's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, funny enough, Shea averages the most steals in the league.
Does he actually?
I think it's 2.2. Yeah. I think he averages the most steals in the league. Like, so he's got a lot of interception that comes from just like dud passes. That
active hands.
You don't see him doing
active hands.
Yeah. So he's really good. I think in 2 years, we'll see, but. If they meet in the playoffs, I'd be curious. I feel like Ant could outplay him in the playoffs.
Facts. So I looked
Ant
into
raises,
it.
Ant always raises. And listen, we played them in the play-in last year. We beat them at 1,000 points. Shea got clamped up by his cousin. I know you remember that.
Yeah. So I looked into it a little bit, right? In terms of the games they play. So they've played 12 games against each other.
Okay.
Ant is averaging 20 points. I believe it's 5 assists and 6 rebounds.
Okay.
Shea is averaging 28 points.
Shock.
6 assists and 4 rebounds.
What's the win loss? What's the win loss between?
I don't know the win loss ratio. I can actually get that right. But then, funny enough, Ant has never dropped single digits in a points game. Shea's actually dropped 8 before in 31 minutes.
Was that in the playing?
Yeah.
I'm sure Ant put up buckets in that game as well. So
aye, just closing out on that, and obviously just carking in back. You like that word? Big word, that one. Mm-hmm. The refs. I know you lot saw them clips of how the refs lost their whistle. Was it 2018 Rockets Warriors?
Oh yeah, with the 27
and then
threes.
We saw some of them 27 threes. At least 17 were fouls.
The very first one was crazy.
Bro, at least
all in his landing space, everything like
and the moving screens. I'll say at least 17 of them 27 were stone cold fouls.
Mm-hmm.
But again, hindsight, gotta hold that one.
Out of the 12 games, OKC and Shea has won 5.
Ouch.
So it's 5-7.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice little...
Sound like a losing record to me.
I feel like, obviously, this is the first year of OKC's run, though.
You don't count last year?
No, because they didn't win the playoffs. This is the third year of Minnesota.
Okay, cool.
I would say this is like the first year you've actually been... Let's bro, you're one of the top seeds this year.
But we made the playoffs in 2022 and 2023.
You've made the playoffs in your time, though. Even Cats made the playoffs before. What I'm saying is, like, as your current iteration now, I think if you were to drop out like the top 4 seeds in the next 2-3 years, that would be disappointing.
No,
to
but
you.
I think last year it was seen as like they were overachieving, but then this year is like we expect you to be there, which is what I think.
I feel like last year we underachieved, but obviously Cat missed 55 games.
Yeah, that didn't help.
Obviously, we made the blockbuster trade.
Yeah.
We didn't really start becoming a good team until we traded D'Lo and brought in Nikhil and Mike Conley.
Thanks for that.
So I feel like I can understand why you say this is the first year of our run, but I feel like our core...
It's been growing.
Our core is going to be playing in the playoffs for the third time. So when I say our core, I'm talking about Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, Naz Reid, Jaden McDaniels.
Playoff heritage.
Yeah, and Gobert and obviously Mike Conley have played together for a long time. Well,
they've been in the playoffs.
They've been
in the playoffs together for Utah. You know what I mean? Kyle Anderson.
Yeah, there's some familiarity there.
Exactly. So this court, so we can say, okay, maybe because we didn't have Rudy in that first year when we lost to Memphis, you can say this is the second year of this team's run. But obviously last year in the playoffs, we didn't have Jaden or Naz Reid either. So yeah, I think this is really OKC. I feel like OKC are ahead of schedule, in my opinion.
In fact, way ahead of schedule.
They're battling for the one seed, really. This is the first year they've really tried, like, okay,
which,
they made
the
play in last year. This is the second year they've really tried to compete.
Major disappointment because they've not been here before. And also, who's their current coach again, sorry?
Mark Dagnall.
Again, he's doing a great job, but it's very different to, for if we use the comparison of the Kings last year and Mike Brown. Mike Brown, a seasoned coach. He's been around a long time. Obviously, coached LeBron in his youth. He was also the Lakers coach for a small while. Didn't get the best opportunity there. And then, of course, he was an assistant at the Warriors a long time. In Kerr's absence for like 30 games, they lost like 3 while he was there. So again, it's very different having a young coach who hasn't been around the playoffs before. And again, having a young team led by a young star.
Well, this is year 4 of Mark Dagnall.
It's still a young coach, just in the sense of playoff.
I think he's probably been coaching us the same time as Chris Finch. And before he was coaching in the G League and he was an assistant.
But it's just youth in terms of being there. You know what I'm saying? Of course, it's not necessarily age, just being around. Like Mike Brown's a seasoned coach.
Yeah, Mike Brown's been in there. Yeah, Mike Dagnall's 38 years old. Like,
exactly.
He's younger than LeBron.
Mike Brown leading the Sacramento into the playoffs, again, even though they've not been there in years, is very different to an OKC being ahead of schedule, being close to the one seed, making the playoffs. But again, I think there's bigger room for disappointment.
But why is it ahead of schedule?
Because they're not supposed to be this good so quickly with the experience of their team and stuff like that. Like they're the youngest team in the league, I believe.
By far.
Are they younger than Detroit?
Detroit are not good. So again.
And even Houston.
Yeah, I think if they're not the youngest, then they're the second youngest.
They're around that vicinity. Yeah, cool. But for me, it's like, again, I think I agreed that it can be ahead of schedule, but to the extent of like, I don't think they're going to be like the Kings and last year, because realistically, they have a young core, they play hard, but they're all very, very, very talented. I think the Kings had a few surprise players in the team that you didn't think would step up in certain moments, your Barneses and stuff like that, your reliable people, but you would say it's ahead of time because of age, but not talent.
I can't lie, I've seen this story before.
With who?
Just across sports, young team, does fantastic all year round, almost ahead of schedule.
You say
when it gets the crunch time, it just...
Yeah, but again...
But it's not shame on them.
But what's
it's
crunch time for them? I think if we're saying that it's ahead of their time, then it's they're playing with house money.
They are.
Yeah, they are.
And that's house money. I think that's good for them. That there's no... like.
If they get out the first round this year, I think that's a successful season for them.
And I think they're getting out of the first round, depending on who they play. Who'd they be playing right now if they were playing in the first round?
Suns.
Yeah, they're getting out of that.
You think they're Kane and the Suns?
I think they're Kane and the Suns.
I don't know.
Lashings.
I don't know.
I feel like the
experience thing.
That experience is
it could be similar to what it could be similar to what happened to Memphis last year when the Lakers got them out of there in 6.
I hear it, but again, my point with Suns is I feel like it's like I said in the clip, it's 2018 Rockets. I feel like the Suns can shoot themselves out of games. And I think I don't see the OKC team shooting themselves out of games where it's like, it's done.
Right now, listen to these matchups in the playoffs in the West.
It's a dog fight out there,
cross
bro.
Cross my heart and hope to die. It doesn't end up being this, but Minnesota will be playing the Pelicans in the first round.
It's going 7.
Denver will be playing Dallas. Luka versus Jokic.
Going 6.
OKC versus the Suns.
Going 5.
And then the Clippers versus Sacramento. I think the Clippers are getting out.
Clippers getting them out of there.
Clippers getting them out of there, probably.
In 4, probably. In 4. They're good and gone.
So start that again.
Minnesota versus the Pelicans.
Minnesota in 6.
Denver versus Dallas.
Dallas in 6.
Denver in 5. I think Luka can get 1. But I feel like...
I don't know, man. Luka in the playoffs.
And Kyrie.
I know.
What's left of him anyway?
Yeah.
But I can't like Jamal Murray and Jokic. And that's a team that has been there.
The streets are saying, if Jamal Murray don't put 30 on your head, he don't rate you.
Your team ain't talking about nothing this season.
Your team ain't on nothing.
So I'm going to go for Nuggets in 5.
OKC versus the Suns.
OKC in 7.
Serious series, a war.
Yeah, a shoot-off.
Clippers versus the Kings.
4-0. Maybe 4-1.
I don't think this is how the standards are going to be by come end of the season. So remember, there has to be the play-in tournament.
You know, I'm gonna say Clippers in six, yeah, but I hope it's Suns in seven.
You mean Kings in seven?
Sorry, Kings in seven. I don't want to see Clippers do no success.
It's not happening.
It's pure hate.
It's not happening.
It's pure hate.
But Clippers, let's talk about the elephant in the room or the elephant in the league at this point in time. Money, 65 game rule. So the reason it's been brought up as a point in time is because of two players in particular potentially missing out. Embiid could potentially miss out on all awards and all NBAs and for not potentially playing 65. And again, Tyrese Halliburton might potentially miss out on around $41 million if he doesn't meet the criteria of 65 games. And this is a microcosm of exactly why sports like the NFL hate NBA players, because they're making them play and they're angry that they might not get their money.
I think there's two ways to look at this.
Agreed.
My stance is 65 is not even, 87% of the season?
It's about 75?
I'm not good at maths. Executive director, you good at maths?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, we've done some countdown games and that shit don't work.
81%. I think it's 81%. I might have done that wrong.
Hey, listen, you can't complain that your employer is telling you to come into work 81% of the time.
And the thing is, your money's fully guaranteed anyway.
However, I will say what I would complain at if I was on Halliburton's side.
He got injured.
It's injury.
Yeah, he literally got injured.
If I've been injured, boss, what can I really do? And I've been injured playing your game. The floor was slippery. I slipped and pulled my hammy. What can I do?
We've seen it with Embiid last night. Like, he was probably still hurt. He's trying to come out and play on one leg.
79.2. So it's like around 80% of the games.
But again, with Embiid, there's... The thing with Embiid is there's so many times where there's these little things as well.
Or being ruled out of all awards.
No, I hear it. But it's like with Halliburton, it's I've been out for a 2-week span because I pulled a hamstring slipping on a court. With Embiid is I missed two games because I had some left wrist soreness. And then I also missed one game because I had a headache. And then another game, my knee hurt. And it's like, but then you come back and drop 35. And it's not, I'm not saying come back and play bad. But it's like you have a lot of mini little splurges of being out in comparison to a person that's just been injured for an actual injury, in my opinion.
I can't lie. 60 is enough. 65 is just, that's when it gets a bit on the edge.
So what do you think it should be like? Minimum like 70 games and then, our contention. Or do you think it should be 60 games?
It's out of contention for awards.
Yeah.
I reckon 80% of the season you have to be about. I
think 65.
It's actually quite fair. But in terms of...
I don't know, man, because injuries, like... but listen, okay. So, okay.
Asking someone to be around 60 of 82 games.
If Joel Embiid, let's say Tyrese Halliburton, right, is going to be All-NBA second team.
Mm. Yep.
He plays 64 games. Julius Randle plays 74. Are you telling me Julius Randle's more deserving of that position than Tyrese Halliburton?
I don't agree.
But on that metric, I don't agree.
But then I would say...
So what's the solution? Because they've done this to encourage players to play, but I think players are just upset with the actual threshold that they put on money.
But I think that the thing is, they had a lot of, I'm sitting out, and we know it was load management, but it's I have a left wrist.
So what if players just come in now, play 12 minutes, and they sit out the rest of the game?
Yeah.
Would you prefer that?
No, but they would probably get fined for it. I don't agree with like
they'll get fined that. Under the competitiveness stuff. So.
I think that it's a thing of you have to get an exception of like injury, for example. If you've played 60 games or 58 games, but you're out
for
2 weeks.
Exceptions.
No, but it's like you was out for 2 weeks because of this, or you was out for 3 weeks because your knee cracked or something like that. You know what I'm saying? If it's a genuine reason as to why you was injured for a certain amount of time, then no problem. But if it's a thing of, I might have a bruised hamstring, so I'm not going to risk it today.
Like, if he plays and pops the hamstring or tears his ACL, then what?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But it's like, how many times have we seen that where, I think I might be injured, so I'm going to sit out this game.
No one wants to do a three-game stretch or a four-game stretch.
Then what do you want to do? Reduce the amount of games in a regular season?
Nah.
Get rid of back-to-back games. But they're not going to do that. But as you've said, is it a sin for your employee to ask you to play 80% of games?
It's not.
Because if I came to work, let's say I worked, right? Well, I do work. let's say at work, I was at work and there's a award for the year, the MVP of the store, right? And I worked every single shift I could. And then a guy came in who was signed off for 2 months. didn't work for 2 months, right? And he still won the award over me. Nah. I would look at it like, bro, he didn't work. And it's, oh, yeah, he had a surgery or something. But then how can you win that?
Is it necessary? Unfortunately, it's a necessary evil. Due to, obviously, what the situation has been previously with players missing games and such as well. So it's a necessary evil. But costing someone, what, 41 M's? That'll burn.
For Halley, I think it's killer. For Embiid...
They got to find a middle ground. I think if they bumped up to 70 games, then you can't... Bro, I'm sorry. I'm confusing myself here.
It's 65 threshold for awards.
So you have to play at least 65 games. Yeah, if they drop it down to 60 games, you have to play at least 60 games.
Mm.
Then I don't know if that's significant enough of a difference, but it's a difference at least.
Well,
I don't feel like the MVP should win MVP playing 55 games.
Yeah.
You get what I mean?
But that's a great question, right?
I don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah, it hasn't.
It has.
When?
Someone won MVP playing 55 games.
So,
and it wasn't a lockout season or something like that.
Karl Malone won MVP when playing 49 games.
Was it a lockout season?
I think so.
Yeah,
it
was like 99, that was like a lockout season.
It was 98, 99.
Yeah.
And then in the 70s, Walton won it playing 58 games.
In the 70s, basketball wasn't real.
This is where basketball didn't exist
until Magic Johnson came into the league.
Then in 2011, 2012, LeBron James won it playing 62 games.
That's lockout season, though.
No.
Was it 2011, 2012? 2011, 2012 wasn't lockout season. And then in 2019 to 2020, Giannis won it playing 63 games.
For me.
Also, Bob Cousy won it playing 64, but no one cares about that. Giannis, literally 3-4 years ago now.
What year was that?
2019 to 2020.
So 63.
2019, 2020. That was the COVID season.
Yeah, but he played 63 games.
But that wasn't a full season.
Didn't they finish the entire season as a whole, though?
I don't think they did.
I think they finished the regular season. They didn't just lock it off and say, let's go to play-ins.
They finished the regular season, I believe.
Yeah, they played 82 games. I think players played 82 games that year.
Did they?
I can check that.
We'll double check.
But what is concerning is, before I just double check that for them, is this is where the players find themselves in, because it's Halliburton and Embiid. So Halley, because he has to play 60, he has to play more than 20 minutes. That's the thing. He has to play more than 20 minutes in 65 games to qualify for postseason awards, which is where the 41M comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
And as of right now, he can only miss 3 games of the rest of the season, or he doesn't qualify for All-NBA. And for Embiid, who is many voters' mid-season MVP, he's missed 12 games already, so he can only miss 5 more all season, or he doesn't make NBA or All-NBA threshold. But again, his contract is locked down. Halliburton would lose money because of where he is right now in his career, because he's still early in his career, just signed his extension, and that's based on All-NBA. So therein lies the problem.
Okay. Again, it's the rule that was put in place, was it this season, right? Because people were calling out. I think for Halley, as I said before, I think Halley is a bit peak. Embiid, I'm sorry. The only thing that I wouldn't like is, like, let's say Embiid doesn't win it because he played 63 games or something like that. But then who are you going to give MVP? And is that person really going to say, yeah, I'm the MVP, when
it's
you know that
Shea
someone...
It's going to be Shea or Jason Tatum or Jokic.
And we know that it shouldn't be you, realistically.
I mean, if Jokic wins...
He played 73 games that lockout that season.
I doubt anyone's going to complain.
The COVID season played 73 games.
Yeah, I just checked.
Yeah, it wasn't a 40.
It wasn't 40. They played, like, most players played games. Maximum 63,
so, so that means Giannis would have played like 90% this season, and he played 60, what was it, 62? Yeah.
So, fair.
So that's currently where the MVP rules are.
They've set a threshold, like, to win MVP, you've got to play at least 80% of the games. At a very minimum.
Yeah.
Other than...
And I think with Halley's one is, you have to play over 20 minutes of those games you've played.
65 to get away
with. I'm sorry, what?
If in Halley's one,
you have to play 20 minutes, at least 20 minutes, 65 games for him to qualify.
Oh, no. So, I don't know. Obviously, they kind of the players kind of got fleeced in this CBA.
Yeah, because they're fleecing the owners.
Yeah,
the owners said we need some get back, bro.
No, man. The owners make billions off of these guys, bro.
True.
They're getting paid.
Again, I'm happy these boys are getting paid. But they said, listen, we're paying you, so you're going to have to get paid. But in continuation of last session, we spoke about all-star voting. We've got the starters now. Let's discuss.
Did we not have the starters last episode?
No, we didn't have the starters yet.
No, we said we had the voters. We said who we think should be starters.
I got to get some things off my chest. Go first on. And foremost.
Talk to
before
me.
We get there.
Damien.
let's start out east then. All right, let's start out east.
Damien, so, Dame Time Lillard.
Let's start out east. Last episode, we had the, was it fan voting
results? We had the fan voting. Yeah.
We didn't have
nothing
everything
confirmed.
With media or anything. So,
now it's confirmed. Out east. Let's start out there. The Wild Wild East.
Gone.
You had coming in first fraud. Damian Lillard.
God in heaven.
Second, Tyrese. Loved that for him. Well deserved. Jason Tatum. Cool. Well deserved.
Usual suspects. Giannis Embiid.
Giannis Embiid. Boom. Let's get into it. Damian Lillard, what are you doing there, brother? What is a polar bear doing in Arlington, Texas?
Isn't it hilarious, yeah? Of all the amazing seasons Damian Lillard has had in his career, this is the first time he's ever started an All-Star game. And it's one of his, like, worst seasons.
Bro, it's when you get motion, bro. When you start playing with other All-Stars all of a sudden.
But also, you got to remember he was in the West.
Yeah. Man had like, Russ, Steph
Harden. Like you're not getting
that. Doncic came.
Yeah, you're not getting that. After Tyrese and a few and Jalen Brunson and a few others, it's slim. I mean, Donovan gets it. Slim pickings.
I mean, Donovan Mitchell should be fuming.
Yeah.
And Jalen Brunson
should be fuming.
Should be a little bit less fuming, but also fuming.
He should be fuming. As I've said plenty of times, the All-Star voting is about motion. It's a popularity contest.
Cavs don't have motion. Donovan don't have motion. But how could
New York?
He plays in New York.
No,
though.
New York think they have motion.
Tom Thibodeau is the reason New York don't have motion, bro.
Like you think they have motion?
That's not attractive hoops.
That's not attractive hoops, bro. And Jalen Brunson's fighting for his life to make them look relevant, and they're in a big market.
Jalen Brunson, bro. Jalen Brunson is literally out
probably better. I was arguing in the group
by
saying,
every metric.
I was arguing in the group saying Lillard's better, and obviously because he's obviously done a tiny bit more in his career, but. By all accounts, as of now, Brunson's probably the better player, if I was to concede.
Probably.
To concede, obviously, where I stood last time.
Okay, we can't do that. He's right now playing better, but is Jalen Brunson a better player than Damian Lillard?
I mean, we play basketball in the present, do we not?
Yeah, but we can't only just go off what's like right now. You've got to take things into contention.
You're saying there's a bit more nuance to this conversation. So explain to me the added context that will make Damian Lillard better than Jalen Brunson right now.
Like, it's been a season. Like, okay, two. Right, but Dame's been good for how long?
Players could go from good to crap in one season. We've seen it 100 times.
Yeah, but the fall off, like, Damian Lillard is one of the best guards in the league. I'll put it like this. For example, right? When we're doing our, and we still need to finish posting them, I will actually finish posting them. I've fixed something on the laptop. The top 25 players. How many players are in there when we're saying, yeah, I just can't put you over there because you're, like, AD was making people's top 10.
Emotion.
And it's about what you've
and
also seen beforehand.
Then we watched the season and then we've seen that Tyrese Halliburton's taking a leap. Shea Gildas-Alexander's taking a leap.
Cool.
Blah, blah, blah. You could say they're better than AD right now.
Yeah, facts. But
can you not?
Is SGA top five player in the league? He's playing like it.
Is he?
Yeah, he's playing like it. You just said he's in the MVP voting.
Yeah, because the guy that's going to win MVP is getting knocked out of contention.
Yeah,
because
but if he's in a rank, there's not 10 people that have been playing better than
you. Said top five. You said top five. What?
He's Jokic, in the top. Yeah.
Doncic.
Yeah.
Embiid.
Tatum.
Giannis.
I don't know if Giannis is having a better season at SGA fully. Like.
He's probably he's been better. It's just that this is the worst.
Giannis has got the worst Bucks team in the world. Like,
and they're going crazy. He's got
15 games over 500.
But he's got a fellow All-Star there. He's got a fellow.
Whatever.
So the check, maybe. We might have two.
It's true.
I think basketball is very, very good at shiny new toy syndrome.
Things,
and I get it.
Things move fast in basketball,
do
we know
fast,
that.
But yeah. I don't think you can rub off what people have done before. Especially if it's not, I'm not talking about 5-10 years ago. I'm talking about 2 years ago, if that. And again, Dame's got at least some playoff strikes playing out West with next to nothing. You know what I'm saying? And we saw Jalen Brunson fart in the playoffs last year.
Like, I love Jalen Brunson.
Likewise.
But it's like, to say he's a better point guard than Damian Lillard overall right now, like,
he's
if
it's
like in
him.
This moment, in this season, he's been better than him. Facts, but...
If someone's playing better than someone now, it's fair to say that they're a better player, but in history,
You can make an argument that Jalen Brunson was better than him last season as well, if you want to factor in the playoffs.
The playoffs and the trailblazers, bro.
Jalen Brunson raised his game in the playoffs.
No, I agree. But it's like, again... You can say that, but for two seasons...
But his team farted out, so...
Okay, would you put Jalen Brunson in top 25
when is the last time Trailblazers made it to the second round of the playoffs?
They walked into Steph quite a few times, man. Then it was when Dame dunked it on Paul George's head.
So that was 2019?
Yeah.
That's 5 years ago now, shit.
Then who have they played of like other than
look
Steph
at the teams
Curry,
what he had.
They played the Lakers 1 year.
Yeah.
Well,
packed by us.
Well, that's what's gonna happen if you keep finishing in the eighth and seventh seed.
But what can you?
And
do,
how
bro?
Can
look
I do that when CJ is my teammate and he's not playing? And like, look at the team.
Look at the teams in the West in that time that have won series. Memphis Grizzlies won a series.
Mm-hmm.
Utah Jazz won a series.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Donovan Rubio.
Dallas Mavericks won a series.
Oh, so Donovan Mitchell's a great player. Well,
Dallas Mavericks has won a series.
One of the best players in the league.
So Damian Lillard isn't one of the best players in the league. That's what he's saying.
He's one of there's Damian Lillard's Luka.
So he's not that level of player. Is what
he's not. He's not the level of Luka. Nah,
he's not level of Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert.
Well, but them two together is different. Like, you know what I'm saying? But no,
it's hard for him. But at the same
it's
time,
hard.
The Dallas Mavericks won a season, won a series where Luka didn't even play half of the series. It was Brunson and flipping Spencer Dinwiddie.
Who was it against?
Utah.
Yeah,
right. Brunson's a very, very good player,
and Jalen Brunson was the best player in that series.
He's not reached the heights of Dame.
That was a coming out show for him.
Hey, so you can say he's been better than Dame for a little minute now.
Yeah, but he's not reached the heights maybe metric. Dame. He's not reached the heights maybe Dame has. So maybe it's a little heritage.
In terms of like rep, maybe not like
rep. Actually, like David, even moments.
Lillard scored 30 a game in a season and shit like that. Like
he's got game winners in the playoffs, like series enders. Like it's like I hear it, but
no. I'm not going to say that Brunson's a better player than Damian Lillard. He's playing better than him, though.
Well,
and he should have been in the All-Star starting
team. The argument you're making is Jalen Brunson isn't a better version of the best version of Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
You've used that same argument to say Russell Westbrook is currently better than Brunson or James Harden is currently better than Brunson.
No.
I think that's fair. That's what I'm saying.
We've seen Dame hit a level that Brunson hasn't hit yet, but Dame isn't playing at that level currently.
Yeah, but
so that's what we have to judge him at.
Yeah, but he's not playing at that level currently, like right now. And he was still great last season
he was amazing last season. So we're talking about this season.
Yeah, but this one season where he's traded to a new team and gone down.
Let me ask a question.
Go on.
If a guy has two amazing seasons in a row and a guy has one amazing season and one meaty season, who's the better player at the moment? The guy that's having two amazing seasons in a row, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening.
At the moment, yes. But I'm saying like overall, if we'd done a ranking right now, like of the best point guards in the league,
Brunson
right?
would be ahead of Damian Lillard.
I'm not saying like as in what they're doing right now in the league. I'm saying overall, like who they are for. And usually when I do my rankings of specific things, I take in like a 5 year span or a 3 or 4 year span.
But that's not true though, because every time we do the courtside 25, there's a different ranking every year.
Yeah, but
because things change.
Yeah, because the criteria. I'm not going to speak about that.
No, because things change.
Yeah, no, things do change. But at the same,
Tyrese Halliburton would have made anyone 25 last season. He'll make everyone 25 this season.
But he
that's
made
1 year difference.
Yeah, but he made some people 25. Like he made mine and stuff like that. But again, I didn't put Tyrese Halliburton as the top 15 player, even though he's probably a top 15 player.
So next season you'll put him as a top 15 player, right?
One year difference. No, maybe. maybe I might. I would have to sit there and think about it. But it's like...
But Damian Lillard wouldn't be there.
In top 15?
Yeah.
He wasn't
in my top
15. He might not even be top 25.
He wasn't in mine this year. He wasn't in my 15 this year, no.
And this isn't over the span of three or four years.
I don't think
Brunson
be in.
Is Jalen Brunson going to be in your top 25?
Of course.
I don't think he's going to be in my top 25.
Who the hell's 20? 25 players in the league is better than Jalen Brunson?
You've got a reward playing well. You can't just say, you need to do it for another year to be in the top 25. But
of course,
right now.
They reward playing well every year. It's called All-Star. It's called All-NBA. Like, guys don't miss out on the All-Star game because they wasn't an All-Star 3 or 4 years previously.
But to be
everyone has to be an All-Star for the first time.
There's been some heritage stripes in All-Star game. Like I said, it's a popularity contest.
There always is. But guys get, like, Jalen Brunson is going to be an All-Star for the first time this year. Tyrese was an All-Star for the first time last year.
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey is going to be an All-Star for the first time this year. You know what I mean?
He's also, if we want to break it down to the granular stuff, he's actually a more efficient scorer than Dame as well.
Yeah.
Which is also...
Brunson, he's been better than Dame by every metric.
Although you tried to tell me he had a bad shot selection last week.
No, that's not the point though. I don't like his shot selection.
You could make the same argument for Dame as well.
Yeah, but I don't...
I think Brunson has a great shot selection.
The fact he makes
him.
Them, don't make them... My personal criteria, just because you make them don't mean they're good shots.
I feel like if you make a shot at a high clip, it's a good shot for you.
If you can do it, then it's yours. Thank
I don't
you,
like yeah. it. I don't have to like it though. Hence why
because
I call
not,
it
Because not every player is the same. Like
agreed.
Yeah.
But I don't like spin around, turn around jumpers when you're like 6 foot.
Like a wide open three is objectively a good shot.
Agreed.
Like, if the guy that's taking a wide open three is Ben
Simmons, mid-range is not.
It's not
don't
a good
take
shot.
The shot, sir. Don't take the shot.
To me, objectively, a turnaround fadeaway in the mid paint for someone who's under 6 foot six is not a good shot.
But that's not the kind of shot. Brunson's got.
I saw him make one the other day.
Brunson's got a float game.
He's got a wide bag. I'm just saying,
he's very physically built.
I think his float is probably like right now, put it at third best in the league.
Who's first?
Steph is just fake, but Trae Young's float game is crazy as well.
Trae Young's float game is good.
Jalen Brunson.
Kyrie had a little something, but now
Darren Fox got a nice little float game.
Yeah, but I don't think they use it as like
that. Ja Morant's got a great float game.
Hey, Darius Garland had a great float
game. Darius Garland's got an amazing float game.
He ain't been playing this season so far, but like Darius Garland's
float game is
crazy.
But let's not digress.
Sorry, but yeah.
We've got these five. The only one who arguably is not warranted, of course, no, who's not warranted is Damian Lillard as of this point in time. And we can make examples for Jalen Brunson, who probably should have been him. It could have been
Donovan Mitchell.
Or Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. So those are the two maybe slights. I think they're just compiling the bench votes now in terms of who will potentially be there. But before we get to that, the West now.
I think the West was pretty...
regular proceedings.
Actually, some people had some issues with LeBron starting.
Some people have some issues.
Steph Curry fans.
Some people have an issue with Steph not being there still.
So. Why the hell would Steph be there? He's not even in the playoffs.
Why would he be there? Again, SGA, Luka, KD, Bron, and Jokic. And LeBron is the captain. So again, this is just who are going to be the star, who going to be the starters regardless. Who the captain ends up choosing,
If LeBron wasn't going to start, then it would be Kawhi Leonard anyway. Yeah. So
again, that's currently where we are with that. And then I believe they've announced the bench unit now.
They have?
Let me double check.
That must have been breaking news then.
We might have to listen to questions though.
Yeah.
It's not just yet. They're still picking the reserves. Nothing done just yet. But there are obviously still a few names who are here, there and maybes. But before we get into that, of course, listeners' questions.
Who we start? How many? Maybe we got what, three or four? I think
got a couple of questions, not a heavy week in terms of the questions, but we got a few. So the first question we've just basically been discussing is, was Donovan Mitchell snubbed as a starter?
Yes.
Was he more deserving than Jalen Brunson?
In my opinion, he was. Feel like do you know what, I feel like it's
he ain't got no emotion out there.
What's the phrase I'm looking for?
It's a toss-up.
It's a toss-up. I wouldn't be mind if either of them started, but I would say they both deserve to start, whoever started...
If Donovan Mitchell was playing for New York, he would have started.
Yeah, 100%.
It's not an argument one of them starting. It's not an argument if either one of them started. It's an argument that Dame did.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Either one of them is fine.
It's a snub, yeah.
Yeah, they both got snubbed, which is crazy, but if Donovan Mitchell started or Jalen Brunson started, I wouldn't say that either one of them got snubbed by the other.
Mitchell's never been a starter, has he?
I don't think
so. But he's like a three-time All-Star now, right?
Nah, but he's been an All-Star since 2019, I believe. So that's what? Five. I think he might have missed the All-Star game his first two seasons, but since then he's been an All-Star.
He's a four-time All-Star. He's been 2020 to 2023.
Yeah.
So there we go. All-NBA second team last year. All-NBA rookie first team. Surprisingly short CV. So that's...
I mean, he's in what? Year six? Yes.
He's currently in... Yeah, he's in year six. No, he's in year seven.
Year seven.
Last year was a career high for him across the board in terms of minutes a game. Field goal, 48% from the field, from the three-point line, and which is so underrated, 38%.
And let's have it right. He's improved as a player in his time in Cleveland. Right now, Darius Garland isn't playing, so he's functionally playing as their point guard. He's improved as a playmaker. He's improved as a defender. Defensive efforts up. Still one of the better scorers in the league. Isolation. So he's really matured and he's a leader now as well on that team.
Yeah.
So maybe when he was in Utah, like, he didn't have to be like a leader because they had Mike Conley, they had Gobert, you know what I mean, they had Joe Ingles. He just had to be their best offensive firepower. But he's on a relatively young team.
This is a serious snub. The man then picking up what I'm putting down. If we want to talk about what he did last year, and then we'll get into this year. Last year, yeah. This is a career year, yeah. 35.8 minutes a game. Shot 48% from the field. On 20 shots. From the three, shot 38% on 9 shots.
Yeah, he was shooting a lot of
three. And then, bro, he's a very good three-point shooter. And
I can't remember who started last year.
And then 28 points. Not to mention 4 assists, playing like shooting guard.
I'm sure he's bumped up to like 6 point something.
6.3 this year, 4.4 last year.
Let me check for your rooms.
He's also bumped up his rebounding this year from 4.3 to 5.5 this year.
So he's continued to improve as a player in his time.
And he's 27.
And he's leading a team that right now are one of the hottest teams in the NBA, one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. They're missing guys. They was missing Mobley for a stretch of time. He's back now. Darius Garland is still to
Why
come
he
back.
Why got no motion?
Oh, he started last year.
Donovan Mitchell started?
Yeah, so it was Kyrie, Oh wait, one second. No. I might be wrong. I don't think it's a matchup. 1 second. 2023 All Star Weekend.
And then while you're searching for that, we've got the other question from La Castina, of course, number one.
Oh no, it was Kyrie was at the Nets, right? Yeah, it was Kyrie, Donovan Mitchell, Giannis, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum.
Good,
cool.
Made sense.
He probably deserved it even more this season as well.
Yeah, when I was reading it, it said Kyrie, Dallas Mavericks, but I realized that it's just saying what he's
okay. Now. Cool. Top five worst All Star selections in the last 10 years.
What do they mean by that? In terms of worst players to
what
go to be.
You want to make of that? We can make that.
In terms of worst players to be an All Star,
or maybe the biggest. What's it called? Legacy picks or whatever it might be.
Okay.
Because if the gap was long enough, I would have said Joakim Noah, because I ain't never trying to see that in
5 years.
Our last 5 years.
Five years is what? 1920?
He said 10 years.
Oh, 10. He said the top five BJ Armstrong for that one, boy.
Well, then it will be Jeff Teague.
Yeah.
Is that 10 years between in the last 10 years?
That was
2013 to 14.
That's 2014-15.
So the Atlanta
four. 2013-14.
No, it's 2014-15. They had Al Horford, Paul Millsap, Jeff Teague, Kyle Korver.
Didn't Kyle Korver made that as well?
Yeah, four of them. So there's four of them already.
Wait, no. Paul Millsap and Al Horford. We're including Paul Millsap and Al Horford in that. They were bowlers.
Fine, yeah. two or four.
Yeah, yeah.
Kyle Korver and Jeff Teague.
Yeah, listen.
You're about to say something mad,
I'm not going
to
say something mad. There was a year when Mike Conley got in, right? And it was kind of like a legacy. It was kind of like, and listen, I love Mike Conley. But that year, the Utah was number one seed in the West. I think he was an injury replacement. And I think they just put him in there because he's never been an all-star. Like, at that point in his career, he wasn't an all-star player. When he was in Memphis, he was an all-star level player. But at that point, he was a quality role player.
When the thing was at Memphis, it was heavy in the West.
You couldn't make it in. The West was too stacked regards.
Rightfully so.
And he was actually an all-star level player at that time. And Memphis were a great
team. Because they were better players. So unfortunately, he wasn't an all-star player.
He was though. Like, listen, if you're the best guard on a team that's going to the Western Conference Finals, you're also a level player, but
you get
just,
emotional, bro. There's actually better guards than you, unfortunately. So just due to that definition, they're actually better guards. So he's not an all-star level guard at the time.
Nah, because if he was in the East, he would have been an all-star.
Touche. And then so, okay, I've got Kyle Korver, Jeff Teague, Mike Conley in his legacy year.
Yeah, so the year Mike Conley made the all-star game, I think it was 2021. He actually did have a good season this year. Like, Utah was the number one seed in the West. He was averaging 16 and 6. You know what I mean? It was like, but like
10 years. Joakim Noah, he makes it 2014.
I think DeAndre Jordan. We could put DeAndre Jordan in there as well. 2017.
I like it. I don't care.
Can we put Draymond Green in there?
No. Hell no.
I don't want to watch Draymond Green.
Andre Drummond.
Was he an all-star?
He was an all-star in Detroit.
That rebounding year.
In Detroit, he was all-star.
He went crazy.
He was even a two-time all-star. Damn. He made an All-NBA team in 2016.
Which one? Damn.
2016, he was an All-NBA third team.
I'm mad at that. If you make it a third team, you're clearly a decent enough player. But again, his rebounding numbers were so fugazi. Oh, it was hilarious.
Him as a player in general was so fugazi.
I think we take one person each and then we decide on the last two.
I'm going with Jeff Teague.
I'm going Joakim Noah.
Kyle Korver.
So Joakim Noah, Kyle Korver, Jeff Teague. And then we've got
I think Jeff Teague and Kyle Korver are pretty simple ones because neither of them were like all-star level players at any point in their career. They were really good role players. So they just got in because their team
Joakim Noah, really good role player. And
I don't know because if you like Joakim Noah, I put Joakim Noah in the same bracket that I'd put like a Rudy Gobert or maybe even a Draymond. Like, they're in there because their defensive impact was so high, they were like one of the most valuable players.
At least Draymond can throw
an
oop or do something or make it look sexy in the play in the All Star game, innit? What is Joakim Noah doing there?
I'm sure even Tyson Chandler even made an All Star game 1 year.
Could dunk it real hard.
No, but like he made it in there because of his defense.
But I don't like
so
it.
we see every year guys making All Star games because they're like one of the best defensive players in the league.
It was super. His version of it was super ugly. I'm really sorry.
He made it 2013.
He
was defensive player of the year.
Joakim Noah was the most ugly version of it. I respect him as a player and what he did, but I didn't want to see it at the All-Star game. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's the thing for the All-Star game, though. It's like, what players do you want to see in there?
What we should be seeing there are the best players who deserve
it. You want to see the Kyries of the world, the Anthony Edwards, the John Morant.
I want entertainment.
People might want the Zions where you can, well, what we want is Zion to be, the catch the alley-oop and wingman. I want to see Blake Griffins and stuff like that. You know?
Like Jokic has never had a good All-Star game.
Yeah.
he deserves to be there. Yeah, he doesn't know what to do in them.
Like, he's a great player, but it's like, for an All-Star game, I want to see some, I want to see Steph
shoot. Wants me some entertainment.
10 threes from the halfway line.
I want the best players rewarded, but again, I also want to see some entertainment.
Ooh, sorry, just to divert a little bit, right? NBA, you're sneaky as well. Steph versus Sabrina. Right, they're bringing Steph versus Sabrina to the All-Star weekend.
They're using the men 3-point line.
No. However, you're cheeky, you still owe me a little Brittany Griner versus
DeMarcus Cousins.
Where's that one-on-one? You couldn't bring that to me four or five years ago.
I don't need any gender wars.
I won't see
don't
that.
Don't promote such either.
We know how that would end. So that's not pointless. Yeah, the Stefan Sabrina, at least.
It could go either way.
Yeah, yeah.
It could actually go either way. But of course, she's used, it doesn't really matter, but I think they use size smaller basketballs. But she's obviously shooting from the men's line. She said she was happy to go with the men's line. So we're going to see what happens.
I can't lie, Steph might cook, man.
Sabrina might cook.
Yeah, both, but I think Steph might cook, man. But
what's the last question then?
That was it.
Oh, that was it?
That was La Castina, courtesy of La Castina. But yeah, before we do the digital dash, of course, check the socials. Make sure you leave your ratings on the Spotify and Apple Podcasts if that's your preferred platform. Again, not mine, but if that's yours, make sure you use it. Make sure you leave them ratings there. We see all the good news, like we said. We see all the good reviews, the bad ones. I'm legally blind, yeah? So make sure they're all good. Again, we appreciate the fans. At Courtside Fracas on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. At Courtside Fracas on the Twitter. At Courtside Fracas on the Instagram. We posting them reels, of course. At Courtside Fracas on the TikTok. And again, at Courtside_Fracas on the TikTok. And at Courtside Fracas on the YouTube. We've got some new stuff coming soon. So again, any new listeners to the podcast or any new followers of basketball, make sure you tune in. There's going to be some educational pieces as well, because again, we're not just entertainment and handsome men. And Jordan, we're here to educate as well. But with that, we'll see you next week. Peace.
Bye.
Love.
Sports Social Podcast Network.